The Grillin' Guys on 107.3 WBBL-FM.
Fire and flavored.
Hey, this is Barbecue Bob. We are the Grillin' Guys, and we've got Randy just speaking randomly. Hot Man Joppy, good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, it's good to be here.
He's in the meat frenzy.
The protein kicked
Seriously,
in.
Seriously, that is... It's embarrassing how that supply of chow has been ravaged by three dudes. It looks like 10 people have been in here.
Yeah, Tim from Sobey Meats brought in about 3 pounds of his variety flavored of hunting sticks and snack sticks, and we've been tearing that up.
I am Barbecue Bob. I'm in here with Michael Gray and Hot Man Joppy this morning. Thanks a lot for helping me, guys, because it's a big load to carry.
Yes, I am.
Save it for the ladies. You want to be a part of the show this morning, you can. 800-785-1073 is the number. 800-785-1073. Coming up in just a second, we're going to talk with Chris Marks, get some real live professional barbecue advice. But first, we got to send it out to Portland. Eric, you've been on hold forever, man. Thanks for holding. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Hey, Gray. What's up?
What's going on, bud?
Hey, I just caught your show this first week. I didn't even know you're on. I'm usually sleeping Saturday morning. So
oh, God bless.
But I got one question. I'm on a budget, and I don't have a whole lot of space. If you had to pick one, charcoal or gas, for a rookie?
That's
I go with charcoal on everything. I'm a purist. I don't have a gas-operated anything in my arsenal. But, you know, if you're a rook, Eric, and thanks for the call, bud. If you're a rookie and you're looking to get something that's going to give you consistent results, gas may be the way to go.
That's a personal preference question. People ask it all the time. It's a great question, Eric, by the way, and thanks for calling in. It kind of depends on if you want to take the time right. to prep and fire up those coals. Michael is right, and he's a purist, and I love that about him, that he likes that good charcoal. We've actually got him using good charcoal now. He's using the good one charcoal, so
you know what?
How'd you like that?
Well, it was pretty cool. When I did mine, I had that brisket that I did for the Thanksgiving for the family dinner, and I was up at 4:30 and had to light the thing in the dark, and it was well thought out on my behalf to not at least do a trial run in the daylight so I'd have some idea what I'm doing. I'm out there fumbling around in my shed. It's raining, and I'm cooking under it, you know, under the roof. But you get that stuff fired up, and you were talking about it, the fact that, again, we go back to good equipment, good supplies, use good stuff, you get better results. And when you fire up that genuine hardwood charcoal, which is a different beast than the briquettes that you'll get,
I believe
the line you said to me when I picked up the grill was, when you use this stuff, when you go back to briquettes, you're gonna feel like you're cooking over a landfill. And it's a different beast.
No
it's
comparison.
A different animal. It's a different type of heat cell. It's everything about the way it behaves and cooks is different.
To answer your question, Eric, I think everybody needs about 3 or 4 grills, so it's not going to matter which one you buy first. Just buy something you can get a deal on. Actually, you might have a buddy that has a grill he doesn't like. You could find it, you know, if you're looking for a cheap one, or go down and get a Weber kettle. You know, if you're going to spend $200, it's a good basic. If you want to spend a little bit more, you can go to the good one, and you can get the Pony Express for maybe $600-$700 locally. I think Zager's has it.
You can also get the charcoal there too at Zager's. Can't
oh, you,
you
can get the charcoal. Good one charcoal. Right. Yeah, it is. Naked Wiz rates the good one charcoal at I think number 8 out of 200. It's crazy good stuff.
Well, I will say this: a Weber kettle grill has to be in the arsenal somewhere. That is the Colt 45 of grill. Everybody, you got to have one
it's
in your arsenal.
The biggest selling grill ever in the history of barbecuity.
And you can do anything with it. I mean, as you, it's pretty versatile. Eventually,
I brewed beer on one once.
I'm not surprised. You can make pizzas on them.
You can
do a ton of stuff with a Weber kettle grill. And if you're going to stick with charcoal, honestly, start there. Get the basics. You can do direct, indirect. You can have all of the essences of smoke cooking and all that stuff. All can happen on a Weber kettle.
But speaking of charcoal, we've got one of the kings of charcoal waiting on hold right now. We're going to jet out to Kansas City, where barbecue really is just part of the vernacular. I don't even know if they say barbecue. They just call it food. And we're going to talk to Chris Marks. Good morning, Chris.
How you doing, Bob?
Hey,
tell us about food.
Tell us about food.
Yeah.
Well, I love food, and I love barbecue, and I've been doing it for about 20 years. And I'm actually at Backyard Bash in Kansas City, which is a huge barbecue store here in Kansas City. And all I do is sell barbecue, and it's a pure man store. And I'm getting ready for a brisket class down here today.
Well, that's kind of something we really wanted to talk about was brisket. Michael Gray's here with us, and I think you met Michael here in the studio when you were here last time.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, he just did the first brisket on a good one that he's ever done, and he texted me, I think, about 40 times after that.
Oh, I killed it.
I think his mother-in-law was kissing him after that.
Now, Chris, this is my question here. Let me first tell you what I did, and then you can tell me how I can kick it up and take it up a notch. I had a 12-pound piece of meat. Put a spicy Texas-style steak rub on it the night before, wrapped it up, stuck it in the fridge, had some apple juice underneath it in the drip pan, and let it get good and sexy for about 10 hours on the good one. Now, is there another step? Is there something other than just a different spice combination, different flavors I could play with, or should I have been doing something else in preparing the brisket?
Well, actually, there are a couple different ways to prepare it. I actually use what they call a jacquard. And that jacquard, I'll actually jacquard the brisket a couple times. I'll rub it down, I'll jacquard it, I'll put some more rub on it, then I'll jacquard it down. And what it does is it breaks down the connective tissues of the brisket. Now, remember, that brisket comes right off the chest of the cow. And that is by far the toughest cut of meat that you're ever going to cook off a cow is going to be that brisket. So you have to find a way how to break those connective tissues down. And I use a jacquard or a tenderizer, and that jacquard works great.
Hey Chris,
so it breaks it down. It also opens up pores in the meat. But while I'm doing it, I'm also forcing the rub down into deeper down into the meat.
Hey Chris, this is Randy. How you doing, man? Long time no
Fine.
See.
Fine. How you doing, Randy?
I'm really good. For our listeners that don't know, because I didn't the first time you talked to me about it, what is a jacquard? If they were going to go to the store and buy one of these, or would that be a good stocking stuffer for the griller wannabe?
Absolutely. It's one of the best stocking stuffers you can get if you're going to be cooking brisket. Basically what it is, it's probably an inch by 4-inch tool that has 45 blades that as you push it down, it breaks down. It's just like a big tenderizing tool.
Okay, kind of looks like a comb maybe? I mean, lots of little fingers.
That you... It just looks like a comb. I'm looking at one right here in front of me. It's spelled J-A-C-C-A-R-D. And you have the option of 15, and you have the option of 45s. And what they do is that you just pound them into the meat, and you break the connectives down to that brisket.
Yeah, I'm looking at one here. I pulled it up on the interweb on the tubes while you were talking about it. And that would be an interesting addition to my arsenal.
It's a great. A lot of people say, do you want to use these on steaks and other things? No, you don't. Because it is a pretty brutalizing tool when it comes down to meat.
Now, do you only use that on brisket, or are there other cuts that you would use that jacquard on?
I would only use that on brisket because it will tear a piece of meat apart. That brisket is so tough that it's really not going to have the kind of effect that it would have as you put it on a steak.
Okay.
It will break a steak into pieces.
Right. Okay, perfect. Thanks, man.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about your brisket class.
Well, the brisket class today in Kansas City, I usually do one a month here. There are about 22 students in it. We have students come all the way from New Jersey, Indiana, flying into this beautiful weather here in Kansas City, 32 degrees with 35-mile-an-hour north winds, so, and plus the class is outside. So it's going to be an interesting class today. We basically take you over the fundamentals of brisket, and also we do pork butts at the same time, the big pork butt. But what we do is we break it down into sections. We break it down into prepping. We totally take a brisket, we cut it, we break it down, we trim it out, show you how to do it. And this is all exactly how I did it in competition. So we break that brisket down, we take the brisket, and I have a mid-tier finish, which has been a very, very important part of our competition finish that I teach the hobbyists. And basically it's where I use cellophane and foil to enhance the flavoring of the brisket by adding a beef broth back in there and letting the brisket absorb the beef broth back. And then, of course, at the very end, we eat what we've cooked.
Well, that's always the best part, if you get to eat what you've cooked.
Absolutely, absolutely. They get to, basically, it's a real hands-on class to where you get to smell, you get to touch, you get to feel, and then, best of all, you get to taste.
This
There's
is
nothing better than tasting what you're looking at.
This is the Grilling Guys here on 107.3 WBBL FM. We're talking to Chris Marks. Chris, bring us up to speed on your qualifications, just exactly where you're at, what you're doing.
Okay, well, what I'm doing right now is basically promoting barbecue. And my qualifications come from, I'm basically the head cook of the Three Little Pigs barbecue team out of Kansas City. And we've won the American Royal 8 times. We've won 43 other contests across the country, nationals. And then on top of that, we've won about 600 individual awards in just the barbecue side of things. But what I do is I've advanced into the teaching. I do a lot of teaching throughout the country. And I teach to hobbyists. I teach method and technique. How do we get that brisket right? How do we get that rib right? How do we do this? What's the general technique to get a great barbecue product?
Now, Chris, I got one quick challenge for you. I'm kind of taking you off guard here, but I was talking to Bob, and eventually I'm going to have to return his grill. At this point, I'm holding it hostage, but I'm going to try some beef ribs on a good one. And it's okay. Something that even he hasn't done, so he couldn't give me any pointers. How do I not screw this up?
Okay, beef ribs. I love them to death. Again, remember where that beef rib comes from. It comes from right by the brisket, so it's going to be pretty tough. Basically, what I do to a beef rib, or a.k.a. we call it brisket on a stick. Okay?
Yeah, right.
So we're going to treat it similar to what we do with that brisket. Now, depending on the type of cut of the, if you get a short rib or you get the long ribs, what you do is you have to strip that membrane off the back. Now, there's quite a bit of membrane off the back. You treat it much like a baby back rib or a spare rib.
Okay.
You'll strip that membrane. But what you need to do from there is usually what I'll do is I'll marinate the brisket rib. I'll marinate it in a teriyaki type marinade for a while. Then what I'll do is I'll use the Three Little Pigs Memphis blend on it and cook it very, very similar to a pork rib. You're just going to set it on there. You're going to throw in some natural lump charcoal. You're going to throw in some cherry wood, and you're going to let it go. Now, am I going to get the same kind of tenderness as I get off a pork rib? Absolutely not, because the way the grain of the meat's laid out, you're not going to get that pork tender, but you're going to get a great tasting, almost steaky type taste from a pork beef rib.
So, would you finish that off wrapped then for the final
Absolutely.
Hour?
Absolutely. I would probably wrap it for about an hour.
Would you sauce it when you wrap it?
No, I do not sauce. You only sauce at the very, very end. Because that sauce has a tendency, when there's a lot of sugar in it, has a tendency to burn.
All right, and I'm equipped with a couple of Three Little Pig sauces at my house I haven't corked into just yet. Which one would you recommend using?
Probably recommend using for the beef spare rib is I'd probably mix the competition with a little spicy chipotle.
Okay. Well,
give it a little bit of a zing, and it'll work well.
All right, Chris. Well, thanks for the knowledge, man. I look forward to getting into that tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that was Chris Marks from Three Little Pigs and the Good One. Chris, I will see you Monday night or Tuesday because I'm going to be in Kansas City next week. So
can't wait to see you, Bob.
Thanks again, buddy.
Thank you.
Hey, you're listening to The Grilling Guys every Saturday from 9 to 11. And we are the only place in Michigan that's on a mission to make your grilling experience the best it can be. We're going to be back.
The Grillin' Guys on 107.3 WBBL-FM.